And I want to challenge you this morning. Are you one of those Christians who still has to be taught the ABC? Or have you grown? Are you maturing? Are you at the point where you can be teaching?
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. In the first part of this message, which aired last week and entitled, Asking God to Do Big Things, Pastor Brian Grant laid out three big things God has already provided for every believer in Jesus Christ. We heard how those in the Lord Jesus are already recipients of God's unsearchable and inexhaustible riches, His unfathomable, infinite love, and gifted with unimaginable power to do the impossible. This evening, Pastor Grant will continue to develop that theme as he looks further into the text of Ephesians 3 to discover three big things we need to ask God to do for us. So if you have your Bibles, we invite you to turn there and listen with us as Pastor Grant brings the conclusion of his message entitled, Asking God to Do Big Things. Once again, here is Pastor Grant.
Now let me say this to you. If God has unsearchable riches, unfathomable love, and unimaginable power, if you could get those activated in your life, would that be good enough for you? If you could have a demonstration of God's power in your life, if you could really benefit to the max from God's unsearchable riches, would that help you? You may be feeling lonely or distant from people, disconnected. If you could really sense God's unfathomable love, would that cozy you up? Well, I believe that what the Apostle Paul is trying to help us to do in this text is to give us some keys that might help us in such a way that we will actually see these things being impacting our lives in a much greater way. So this morning I'm not going to be talking about asking God to give you the car, the house, the health. I think we want to go much bigger, because it's very interesting, having told the Ephesians all the stuff that God has done for them, he now prays. I hope you didn't miss that. He now prays for them, and he asks God to give them certain things. And I am suggesting to you that if Paul is asking God to give us certain things, we had better ask God for those same things. I am suggesting to you, those are the three big things that we should be asking God for. Are you with me this morning? These are the big things. Not give me this and give me that. I believe if we really get what God has to say this morning, it is going to transform our lives in a huge way. So what are these three things? Number one, ask for spiritual strength. Ask for spiritual strength. The Apostle Paul says, for this reason, verse 14, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 8, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the, what does your Bible say? In the what? In the inner man. My brothers and sisters, it is very important that we observe where what Paul prays about. Paul prays and asks God to strengthen us in our inner man. In other words, he's saying, God, help them deep in their spirit. You see, let's be honest. This is truth time now. What do we really pray about usually? Do we pray about spiritual growth or spiritual strength, or we pray about the stuff that has to do with the flesh? God, give me a job. God, give me a man. God, give me a woman. Then when he give you that person, you say, God, this person is a devil from hell. Give me another one. Am I right about it? Then you don't like that job. Why did God give me this job? It's always about stuff. It's always about the flesh. And Paul said, no, you got it wrong. What you need to be praying about is spiritual strength in the inner man. Because here's what he says, and I don't want you to miss this, because there's so much here. But listen to what he says. He says that to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I don't want you to miss that. Paul is saying, if we don't grow spiritually, Christ is not going to dwell in our hearts. Did you hear that? You say, Pastor, that sounds like heresy. Because I heard you say that God lives in the heart of every believer. And I did say it. I said it because Romans 8 tells us that. That anyone who belongs to Christ, the Spirit of God must live in him. And so sometimes we hear Christians running around and saying, I'm trying to tarry for the Holy Spirit. Baloney. If you're a Christian, the Spirit of God lives in you. But just because he lives in you doesn't mean he dwells there. You say, break it down. You see, the word dwell, as used here, the dwell has the idea that Christ feels at home in your heart. That's what it's saying here. It is saying that unless you are, we grow in the inner man, in the inner, that the spirit, Christ is not going to feel at home in your heart. Did you get it? Come on, you've been to people's. I remember years ago, and by the way, it's only the one story I can remember, so you know I'm not talking about any of you in all these years. I've gone into hundreds of homes for ministry and in the business I'm in. So you know I've been in hundreds of homes. There's only one house that really stands out. I went in, they wanted me to feel at home, but I tell you, from my arrival at the front door, I knew I was in trouble. I mean, I went in. Doors were hanging in the hallway. Everything was marked up. The walls had all sorts of things. Everybody did what they want. Debris was in that corner. They took me into the living room. Food, leftover food was on the couch. They brushed off something and they told me, no, just feel right at home. I am like, really? I'm going to try and pull that on Jesus. I do whatever I want to do. Last night I'm out there doing whatever I want to do. Jesus, just feel at home. He's saying, I ain't feeling at home. I ain't feeling at home. And I want us to be clear this morning, because there is this sense in Christendom today, in Christian circles, where people have the idea that God is some sort of a butler to give you whatever you want. He just serves you. He scratches you. He's also a massage therapist. Scratch my back, God. I need a scratch. Rub me down. Give me whatever I want while I do what I want. And we forget he is still the omnipotent God. Changed, and he's not about to dwell. He's not going to feel at home in your life while you do what you want to do. I'm going to put Galatians chapter 5 verse 16 and 17 on the board, and here's what it says in Galatians 5 16 and 17. So I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, don't miss that. The natural thing that we gravitate to is contrary to the Spirit. And the Spirit, what is contrary to the flesh, they are in conflict with each other. So that you are not to do whatever you want to do. Is God talking to us this morning? They are in conflict. God is saying that when our lives are focused on the flesh, focused on doing what we want, He's saying we are in conflict with God's Spirit. And if there's a conflict going on, guess what? God ain't going to settle and feel at home in your heart. So, are you realizing what that means? It means if God is not at home, He's not going to demonstrate His unimaginable power in your life. I want this to be clear. Part of, you see, sometimes Christians blame God for the fact of where they are. But part of the reason we are where we are is that we're still focusing on the flesh and want God just to come and bless us. And God is saying, I am not going to dwell. I'm not at home in your heart. If you want to live any old way, you can go ahead. But listen, you are going to miss out on experiencing my unimaginable power. You're going to miss out on experiencing my unfathomable love because you're not even exploring the depths of my love. Your mind is in the wrong place. So this morning God is saying to us, young person, older person, it's time for a change. And I hope you realize the passage gives us the answer. He says, walk in the Spirit. And young person, older person, God is calling us today to recognize what we need to pray for is spiritual strength, first of all. And as we pray for spiritual strength, it means that we're going to make a commitment to walk in the Spirit, walk in step with the Spirit, to allow the Spirit to guide us and to lead us as we build our inner person. Amen.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
But I need to move on. Number one, ask for spiritual strength. Number two, ask for spiritual depth. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend what is the width and length. Notice, so I don't have to read this again, notice there is a connection between rooting and grounding and exploring and grasping the depths of God's unfathomable love. They are tied together. Rooted is an agricultural word. Rooted is an agricultural word. A tree's deep roots provide both nourishment and stability. You can chew on that when you get home. I won't say much more. Rooted is agricultural. A tree's deep roots provide nourishment and it provides stability. But second, grounded is an architectural term. He borrows from both agriculture and architecture. Grounded is an architectural term. It refers to the foundation on which we build. Any architect will tell you the most important part of any building is the foundation. Oh, you know the answer. The foundation is the most important part of any building. And as we watch the news, sometimes we find buildings toppling down all over the world. A big problem, the foundation was messed up. Write this down in your notes. If you don't go deep, you can't go high. Write it down in your notes. If you don't go deep, you can't go high. You will never rise to your spiritual potential if you don't go deep. Some of you are working hard to be a big shot professional. Go ahead. But never forget, if you don't go deep, you won't go high. And secondly, you will never fathom the dimensions of God's love if you don't go deep. So how do I go deep? Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, and don't worry, I'm going to try and land the craft in the next 10 minutes. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 to 14. Hebrews chapter 5, and the apostle, as he writes to the Hebrew Christians, he says, verse number 12, Hebrews chapter 5, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles." Do you know there are Christians, people who have been Christians a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, sadly 10 years, some longer than that. Here's what the apostle says. And by the way, we need to realize, he's writing to the church in Ephesus. These folks were not saved that long. Well, actually, the Hebrew Christians. The church was still in its infancy. These people were not saved long. And the apostle says, by now you ought to be a teacher. But you know nothing. You know nothing. We still have to teach you the basic, the ABC. And I want to challenge you this morning. Are you one of those Christians who still has to be taught the ABC? Or have you grown? Are you maturing? Are you at the point where you should can be teaching? I want to be very clear this morning. The choice is ours. God is saying, I have all this for you, but there are some things that you need to do to access it. And if you want to go ahead and say, well, okay, I don't really care. Go ahead, help yourself. But God is saying, hey, you ought to be teachers. We have to teach you again the first principles of, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. For he is still a, what does your Bible say? A baby. He's still a baby. Oh, I'm glad I have a little baby still. She was just born in January. She's still a baby. But I tell you, 3 years from now, if I see her, she's still, in fact, she doesn't even drink the milk as much as she used to. Hallelujah. But if 3 years from now, all she wants is milk and that little puddingy thing that they get, you know what that thing is called? Gerber baby food or whatever they call it. I'm going to be concerned. You understand what I'm saying? I want to see her get some real food. And I want to tell you, my friend, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you need to ask yourself before God this morning, have I been growing or am I still a baby? Am I still a baby? Do I still need to be spoon-fed? Do I still need to be taught the ABCs? So this morning, God comes to us and he says, I have all these things available to you. But number one, you must ask for spiritual strength. Number two, you must ask for spiritual depth. And as you ask for spiritual depth, you better grab hold of that Bible. Okay, it ain't gonna happen just because you prayed. But as you pray earnestly to God, God, I want to grow. I want to grow. I gave my granddaughter that verse this morning. You remember 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And God wants us to grow. God wants us to grow. May we decide today, God, we want to grow. But finally, we must not only ask for spiritual strength and spiritual depth, but Paul also says, in an essence, based on what he was praying, he said we must ask for spiritual apprehension. I have to explain that one to you, because sometimes the word apprehension means I'm nervous, I am But that's not what I'm talking about here. Look at verse 17 again. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I mean, I'm back in Ephesians chapter 3. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. The word that is used in many Bibles is the word comprehend. The word comprehend that is translated in the King James Version actually means to seize, to grasp, or apprehend with the mind. Comprehend carries the idea of mentally grasping something. Stay with me now, we're almost done. Comprehend carries the idea of mentally grasping something, but apprehend suggests laying hold of it for yourself. Like when a police, what does the police do to the suspect? The police apprehends the suspect. He grabs hold of that suspect himself. He apprehends him. Are you getting it? God is saying, what we need is to stop just the comprehension. GC is good at comprehending. Oh, we go to church and we're with the preacher because we understand, we comprehend it. Mentally, we understand. Here is the issue. Are we apprehending? You say, Pastor, help me understand. You see, I can understand it, but I haven't apprehended it until I grab a hold of it. Make it mine and allow God to use it to change me. So God is saying, hey, young person, you've been going to church all this life. Your head is just packed with information. You comprehend so much. You know. So this, I'm talking now to folks who can teach the Bible. Do you know we have a lot of people who can teach the Bible? Because they have comprehended. But God is talking to all of us who preach and teach. The question is, now that we have comprehended, have we apprehended? Have we grabbed a hold of what God is saying? Say, God, I hear you. Change me. I'm pretty much finished. But God is saying to us today, what are you going to do with what you heard today? Three big things. Ask for spiritual strength. Are you going to ask him for spiritual strength? Two, ask for spiritual depth. Are you going to? Or are you satisfied where you are? Ask for spiritual apprehension. God, whatever you say to me, I will do it. Is that your desire? If that's your desire, in a moment I'm going to ask you to make a commitment to Christ and say to him, God, I heard you, and I'm saying yes.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that, and mean it, God will hear you, and he will answer your prayer, and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750, or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.